Next week, President Bush is scheduled to meet with Lebanon's Prime Minister, Emil Lahoud. The meeting comes at a time when tensions between Israelis and Palestinians have become critical. Earlier this week, Israel attacked Syrian targets in Lebanon. The Israeli military also answered Palestinian mortar fire with a brief occupation of the Palestinian-controlled areas of Gaza. And earlier today, Israeli tanks again moved into Gaza to destroy a police post. Our Dan Schur discussed the week's events with Shibli Tilhami, who holds the Anwar Sadat Chair for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, and Robert Satloff, who directs the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
Rob Satloff, let me address you first. Yasser Arafat has met with a group of members of the U.S. Congress and has proposed to them that he and Ariel Sharon, the Israeli Prime Minister, simultaneously call for an end to violence. Sharon says that doesn't do any good. He's not going to do that. Is this what you call the politics of gesture?
Well, I'd say it's the politics of theatrics. Arafat, I think, knows exactly what is necessary to begin the process of ending this stalemate, and it is not at the television station. It is it's with the security forces and the people right on the ground.
Now, Shibli Tilhami, the assumption that is made in what Rob says is that Arafat knows how to end this. Is it all a matter of Arafat?
No, I don't think so. I think it's obviously mutual. I think that your question, though, goes broader than this. I think there's a question about whether the parties now assess that there is no chance of a deal. That is a major question for which I don't think they themselves know the answer to yet. I think you can make an argument very strongly that in the Palestinian community, there are two schools of thought. Mm-hmm. One school of thought, we have seen some of it, is a genuine one. And that is, you've heard voices who say, let's go to a nonviolent intifada, including some within Arafat's own camp. They have given a green light to an Egyptian-Jordanian proposal end the violence and go back to the negotiating table. There are others within the camp who believe that it's impossible to make a deal with Sharon. If you give him the advantage of ending the violence without anything in return, he will have won and you will have lost. So you have a situation there along these lines. In the Israeli side, I think there is also something. On the one hand, you can argue that they fear going back to the negotiating table in some way because Sharon needs to look like he wins. He wants to win this. And he's looking for a win.
Let me just interrupt at that point. Rob, afraid to negotiate?
No, I don't think there's fear of negotiation. I think that there is a proper sequence here. And if the Jordanians and Egyptians offered anything useful, and I believe that they did, they offered the right sequence. And that sequence is security, economics, and then diplomacy. If you jump the sequence, if you try to mesh it all into one big bundle, then it won't work. The people aren't ready for it. The societies aren't ready for it. There has to be a time of disengagement, a time of breather, and a time when the security forces back off from each other before you get back into any form of serious diplomatic engagement. And I would be surprised if the same overwhelming majority that voted for Sharon doesn't also want to re-engage diplomatically when the time is right.
Well, Shibli, if anything has happened with security, it's gotten only worse. I think the event of this past week in this situation has been the mortar fire. That seems to be a new element. And you get mortars being fired from Gaza, whereupon the Israelis storm into Gaza, try to stop the mortars, and next thing you know, Secretary of State says that is an overreaction. Until we get some of these weapons out of the way, how can we ever find anything like security?
Absolutely. And obviously, you can't do that without an agreement. What's obvious is it can't be done unilaterally, and you have to have some arrangement to separate. That's why I think the idea that you have a plan, the Egyptian-Jordanian plan out there, which has not been totally rejected yet, I mean, it's obviously needs to be modified, is a helpful thing.
Here, Shibli, I just, on the issue of the mortars having to be a negotiated agreement to get rid of the mortars, that I don't understand.
No, I don't mean on the mortars themselves. I mean on the level of violence. Obviously, in the case of the mortars, there is a very strong question as about the extent to which Arafat himself at this point has control. We do know that some of these mortars are actually being fired by Hamas.
But I have to jump in here and ask you before Rob does, which I'm sure he will, that if Arafat doesn't have control, what chance is there?
Yes, I think the degree of control he has is in part a function of what political option he has. I think, frankly, right now he is completely paralyzed for a very simple reason. He cannot offer a military solution, he cannot offer a political solution, and therefore he cannot affect his public in the same way that he can. If you have a political process, he will have an asset that he can offer, which he can use as a lever.
What is surprising to me is that we've gone now 7 months into this intifada. Two presidents, two secretaries of state have all called on Arafat to exert leadership and to stop the violence. And so far, people have said he doesn't have control, but this remains a hypothetical question because he's never tried. If indeed he tries and fails, then there will be clarity and we're in a new situation. But right now, he has the option of hiding behind the image of weakness while he remains, in reality, the strongest political factor in Palestinian politics.
But remember, you know, it's very hard for him to do it without some coordinated disengagement.
Rob, I have to step in here to ask you this question. We talk about whether Arafat is in control. It's also a question of whether Sharon is in control. We have the situation here where the Israeli army marched into Gaza. The Secretary of State of the United States says that's very, very bad. They got out, and nobody is quite clear what they were, how long they were planning to stay and what they were doing there. Is Sharon in complete control?
I think that Sharon is in complete control. I mean, Israel has a lot of problems politically, but the civilians are in control of the military. There was, I think, a very unfortunate and regrettable comment by a general on the ground in Gaza that suggested that Israel was going to stay indeterminately in Gaza. And
you think he made it up?
I think he was speaking out of school. I don't think that was that was ever the orders from the high command. And from the information I have, the United States knew that the Israelis were had begun to withdraw from Gaza in advance of the Secretary's statement.
Meanwhile, Shibley, Lebanon's prime minister is coming to Washington, and that raises the whole question of what you might call the Northern Front.
Absolutely. It's a difficult time because of the escalation, the attack by Hezbollah, the Israeli attack against Syrian forces in Lebanon, which is again a new escalation, the tension within Lebanon itself or the Syrian presence. All of that obviously complicates the relationship between Lebanon and the U.S., and it's a very tough time within Lebanon and also in terms of the possible escalation down the road.
Rob?
Well, I think this is a moment that if the United States wants to get deeper engaged in Arab-Israeli issues, the Northern Front is where to do it. There's a U.N. structure. There are U.N. forces. There's a Security Council resolution, a new leader in Syria. Now's the time to press our view that this is a test for Bashar al-Assad, and talking to Rafiq Hariri about this is a good way to begin.
Thank you, Rob Satloff, and thank you, Shibley Telhami. I wish I had an encouraging thing to say at the end of this. I don't. This is Daniel Shore.